It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Simply put, spring is coming, and there are signs that tell you that that's the case. Even if you are immune to the weather, you certainly can't avoid seeing, maybe a pussy willow, or who knows, maybe you've seen a moth spiraling into your headlights while you're driving at night. Hard to say, but oftentimes this time of year, some of the signs are subtle and some are less so, and we're going to talk a little bit about both. So without too much more to do about all of that blather, let's get on to it. My friend Kyle Pearson, who works up at the Spruce Bogs, was pounding around yesterday and noticed a lot of small white moths, and I believe these are in the genus Geometer. And so I've labeled them as Geometer moths. But this time of year, you're going to see two types of moths flying about. These small white ones who flutter their wings sort of intermittently. It's kind of a little flap, flap, glide, flap, flap, glide, flap, flap, glide. They are not so concerned about raising their temperature. They just want to flutter about and get a little bit of a wing beat going so that they can move from one spot to another in search of some sustenance. The other moth that you're likely to see this time of year is a large brown moth. And many of you who gather sap will find them in your sap buckets. But I often see them when I'm driving down the road and they flutter into my headlights at night. And these moths, if you stop and look at them, they're large-bodied, very furry, which helps to keep them warm. And what they do is they sit and shiver. And I have witnessed this, and you may have as well. You'll see a moth just sitting there and shivering, wings fluttering, very, very short, tiny little, like shivering. I mean, they're just quivering. And their body muscles are quivering as well inside. And they're raising their body temperature from whatever the ambient temperature is, maybe 50, maybe 45, all the way up to 100. And when they get warm enough, they fly. And they fly about for the same reasons. They're searching out places to lay eggs, places to find food. This time of year, both of these moths are hopefully being able to lay their eggs and get their caterpillars developing before that onrush of birds comes from the south to eat them. There are some birds around here that will definitely eat those sorts of critters if they find them, those little caterpillars from the Geometer moths, happily and readily. And so by getting them either to a larger size or getting them into the cocoon stage before these birds arrive is critical for these early flying moths. So keep an eye out for moths. There should be some flying near you anytime soon. And if you're seeing flying moths, put your senses on alert for butterflies. And we talked briefly this morning about butterflies, but there are roughly five species of butterflies that overwinter as adults. There's a couple of commas. There's the Milberts and Compton's tortoise shells. There's the morning cloak. And I've left out one there. Let's see. Well, there are two commas, two tortoise shells, and the morning cloak. That's five. And then there's a little moth called the infant moth. And this one doesn't look at all like the ones you're going to see fluttering into your headlights. This one's black and white and orange. And you're going to see it flying around in the daylight hours. The first thought's going to be, that's a little butterfly. Because it's small. It's only about an inch across. But it is a moth. And it is one of the early arrivals. Not arrivals, because it's emerging as an adult from wherever it spent the winter. Same is true of the butterflies. They all overwintered as adults and will come out this time of year. Well, mid-April is closer to average for them. Not quite mid-April. Let's say early April. First week in April is about average for the return of the moths are butterflies that we're talking about, those that overwinter, the morning cloak, which is a big, with the morning cloak, the first thing you're going to think of as it flies by is, look at that big black butterfly. Well, it technically is dark brown, and it has this cream-colored border, and if you have one in hand, you'll see it has lovely blue spots on its hind wing, but all of that is, you know, lost when it just flies by. When it flies by, you're going to think, look at that big black butterfly, and that's primarily what you're going to see. The morning cloaks, and or not the morning cloaks, the Compton's tortoiseshell, which is the common one or early one. Whenever a kid tells me in April that he's seen a monarch butterfly, I think probably a Compton's. And they're not, I mean, they're orange and black. They differ from a monarch in that they have little white dots on the forewing up near the corners, the leading edge of the forewing. They have some little white dots, and so that will tell you. But you just know, monarchs migrate. They'll be here around the 1st of June. Anything that you see in April is not going to be a monarch. It's going to be probably a Compton's or a Painted Lady. There's a couple others that fool the eye into thinking orange and black, oh, got to be a monarch, but probably not that early. So moths and butterflies coming, frogs coming. What is here now that you can see and I have seen are pussy willows. Pussy willows have emerged in pretty good numbers. The cousin of the willow, and I say cousin because they belong in the same family, I can't run it down from the top, but starting at the bottom, you have species, next level up, genus, next level up, family. At the family level, you have willows, and in the willow family are included the aspens. All of the populus belong in the willow family. And you have trembling aspen, big tooth aspen, balsam poplar, white aspen, which is introduced. I'm probably forgetting one here or two. Lombardy poplars. But at any rate, the two major aspens that you're going to see are big tooth and trembling. And the trembling aspens are always ahead of the big tooth aspens. They do everything at least 3 weeks earlier than the big tooth aspen. None. That can change if you get a really, really, really late spring. The time between leaf out on the trembling aspen and the big tooth aspen can reduce, but we'll talk about that if it happens. In the meantime, look at the trembling aspens, and they're going to be the ones that right now are starting to put out these little fuzzy buds that look a lot like pussy willows because they're in the same family and they have the same flower type. And this flower emerges as a tiny white, it's called an ament. And that little white flower is hairy as can be. And that hair has a purpose because they're early flowering. They trap the heat of the sun in that flower and they then use that heat to accelerate their development. And so you get early flowering in the aspens and in the pussy willows. And all of that will it begins now, but you won't begin to see pollen and the distension of those flowers until mid-April. So, but if you're looking for a sign of spring, check out the pussy willows and the popples. They're definitely getting after it right now. Let's see. Well, my neighbor Marvin reported his first chipmunk yesterday. And I have not yet seen a chipmunk, but and I told Marvin he must not be feeding his well enough in the fall because mine are probably still sound asleep or maybe waking up, but still going over to the granary to get a little bit of that seed that they collected last fall. And Marvin said that the ones that he saw yesterday were at the seed table and they were definitely filling their cheeks with seeds, either getting ready for next winter or putting some away for any late spring cold snaps that come along. So active chipmunks, average date for me is the 24th of March. and they are, well, marvins are early birds. I haven't got a long history of marvins' first sightings of chipmunks, but his seem to get out and get active a bit earlier than mine. Among the birds, this has been a really kind of exciting week. I had a chance to see a magpie. I don't see a lot of magpies. Big black and white bird with a really long tail, member of the corvid family, crows, ravens, magpies, nutcrackers, blue jays, that crowd. Smart birds. Magpies are not as smart as a crow and fewer smarter than ravens. But they're fun to see and lovely to look at. Trumpeter swans, Mary noted trumpeter swans this weekend. The kids at the schools in Cohasset are, pardon me, seeing trumpeter swans flying over the school. The trumpeter swans are hanging out on any open water they can find, and every day they're out either checking the lake that they're going to nest on, which is kind of a repetitive thing. That is, if they have a successful nest, they'll come back to that nest again in the spring. And so they come back and check the lake to see when it opens. Or they are just looking for open water where they can find better food sources. So trumpeter swans definitely moving about this time of year. Dallas Hudson reported Canada geese at Shingobee Lake. He said there were six of them. They came in on the 3rd of March. My average date for the return of Canada geese is the 22nd of March. That's only the average. You know, it's can be earlier, it can be later. But these guys come back and they'll be on looking for open water as well. And it won't be too long after that that they'll start trying to find a place to nest. So check out, listen for the Canada geese. They will be calling when they get in your area for sure. And speaking of Dallas, he mentioned that a friend of his who lives down in Sabika, this gets into your neighborhood, and this guy saw and heard a meadowlark, an eastern meadowlark, and that is a beautiful, beautiful singing bird, and one that I so seldom see or hear. But when I do, it is unforgettable. They are just amazing, amazing birds. So down in the Sabika area and probably south central to southwestern Minnesota, you are being entertained by those lovely meadowlarks and their early spring songs. Finally, and I've saved this one for last because this is one of my favorites, the bald eagles. And the bald eagles return to the nest. Well, the first, I saw one fly by the nest on the 6th of March, didn't stop, just soared past and kept on going. And I thought, well, what happened? How come they're not back? And oftentimes they do come back early in February and they'll start bringing sticks to the nest and sort of rearranging things, getting it ready for another season. But apparently this nest measured up because I saw my first one on the 6th. I saw it fly by. On the 7th, no eagles. On the 8th, they came in the morning, and one of the eagles immediately went to the nest. And starting on the 8th, and I can stand in my living room and put my spotting scope on the nest, and I can see just the top of her head. It's the worst view ever. I have to look through some sticks on the edge of the nest in order to see it. But I can make out this little white patch, and occasionally her yellow bill will go by. But she's there and turning her head and looking around. And on the morning of the 9th, at about 8 o'clock, the second eagle came in, probably, well, obviously just to relieve her. And she, as he swooped in toward the nest, that bird swooped in toward the nest, the bird on the nest got up and flew off. And this bird apparently wasn't quite up to speed. He took a circle around the nest and then he went, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be sitting on the egg. So I keep using the word he because I assume that it's the female who does most of the work there. But this second bird plopped down on the egg and sat down there, and I had to leave before the before it came back and switched again. But they do that, and for the most part, I believe it is the female who does most of the brooding, but she's been there. She was there last night. She was there all day yesterday. She'll be there all day today. It takes about 35 days for the first egg to hatch, and eagles lay their eggs sequentially. That means they'll lay an egg on day one, and then maybe lay an egg on day two, but for sure lay an egg on day three, and then maybe lay an egg on day four, but for sure lay an egg on day five. And that puts a little stagger in the hatching rate, so that there's always one baby eaglet that is bigger than the others. And the reason for that is if mom and dad are good hunters and good providers, they'll feed that one full, and the second one will get a meal as well. But if they are moderate hunters or poor hunters and their food supply is limited, they will feed the biggest, oldest eagle in the nest first. And if that one survives, at least they have one offspring that to move things on from for the next year. Last year, they brought one along through the summer. I'll let you know how they do this year, because believe me, I am going to be looking. And I mentioned that that was the final thing, but I actually got a call from or a text from Chris Walker, a name you're familiar with here at KEXE. Wondered about deer ticks, and so I went and did a little work on deer ticks, and here's the skinny on deer ticks. The average that I have for the emergence or the first note of deer ticks is April 6th, but I have 23 records for April, and they are April 1st in 05, April 5th in 99, and again, April 5th in 03, 06, and in 21. Deer ticks in March, 331.08, 325.09, 318 in 10, 315 in 16, 37 in 17, and in 21, 39. So we are definitely in the deer tick season. And if you have a dog or a cat, you need to either get them protected or you need to be very assiduous about checking them each day, because those deer ticks start off awfully small, and a lot of them carry one disease or another that can be harmful to you and your pets. So I hate to break it to you, but it is spring and the deer ticks are out.
That's right.
That's the Phenology Show for this week. Tune in again next week and we'll do it all again.